Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tonight at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center, it's Liverpool Legends, the complete Beatles experience. I saw this last time they were here, and they are amazing. You want to relive the Beatles tonight? You have nothing to do? Or maybe you've got something to do that's not as much fun as going to see Liverpool Legends? Man, go. They've got video. They take you through the different years, the different stages of the Beatles. It really is a lot of fun. Marty Scott joins us on WWL, and Marty is the George Harrison in Liverpool Legends. And Marty, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. How's it going, man?
Good. I wish people could see you. I did a video with you last year, and you look very much like George Harrison. And one of the things that really amazed me about Liverpool Legends is the idiosyncrasies that you have picked up about the Beatles. For example, George Harrison, you know, some people play their guitar hung low. George Harrison played his guitar kind of high, and you do that.
Yeah, well, you know, we study all the films and footage we can get our hands on and try to give an illusion or the closest reproduction as we can for each character. It's a lot of fun, and it's always sort of a work in progress. Yeah, but George, yeah, it took me a little while to get used to because I grew up, like, listening to Led Zeppelin and stuff, you know? So, and Jimmy Page was a little bit of a guy that wore his guitar around his knees, you know?
You're right.
That's cool that you notice that stuff, but we work really hard at it.
The other thing that I noticed that you do, Marty, is as George Harrison, you do this little George Harrison had this slight little kick with his leg, and I think
it was his right leg. So, a lot of people think he got that. He was a big Carl Perkins fan, and Carl had this little shuffle that he used to do, but also oddly enough. I discovered, and I think it actually came from Hank Williams Sr. was kind of doing it first, which if you go all the way back to even influences of Carl, you know, go back to Hank, and he kind of had this little shuffle thing going too. So I think, you know, it all kind of goes, and everybody gets influenced by the people before them. You know, Hank probably got it from somebody else. I don't know.
Well, that was
George
something.
Definitely did
it,
do that.
It was definitely particular to George Harrison, and I noticed that you did that. The other thing that I noticed, and it was something that I did not think about until I saw Liverpool Legends last time you were here. Ringo Starr sits very high in the stool on the stool on top of the drums.
That's true. That's true.
And I never noticed that about the Beatles until I saw, because I thought, wait a minute, this guy's sitting really high. Wait a minute, Ringo Starr did that. So it didn't dawn on me until I saw Liverpool Legends do that.
And that might be, you know, so Ringo was pretty visible as a drummer, like more back in those days, Ringo was the first one to actually have a drum riser. So and that's something that never, you know, that kind of changed the world in itself. There was no drummers that were really meant to be visible before then, you know? So Ringo, as far as a pop act, was sort of the first one. They used to stick him way up in the air, and he sat high as well. Yeah, and maybe that's why. Who knows?
Interesting, you know? Yeah. But, you know, the other thing interesting about Ringo Starr is, if I'm not mistaken, Ringo Starr is left-handed. But he set up his drums like a right-handed drummer, which allowed Ringo Starr to, since he is left-handed, it led him to do certain things that maybe other drummers wouldn't do, making his subtle presence there very unique.
Yeah, it's so like when you do a drum fill, I mean, let's face it, he didn't set out to do it that way, but all of his rolls and fills kind of end backwards. So, you know, normally, so he's leading with his left and following with his right. So when you try to figure out those parts, if you do them right, you kind of have to do them backwards. It's weird, you know.
Now, Liverpool Legends not only had to find a bass player that looked like Paul McCartney, but you had to find a left-handed bass player.
Yeah, it's a pretty important thing. There's a lot of shows out there, and I think to do it correctly. It just looks weird to me if the guy who is playing Paul is righty, that it's such a visual that you've seen, the whole world has seen, you know, from every photograph and every concert and everything the Beatles have ever done. So it's a must, I think, you know.
It seems like
you can't have a righty Paul.
It seems like a simple thing, but it is a big thing because the iconic vision of the Beatles is defined by two guitar necks going in one direction and a guitar neck going in the other direction. And it was particularly pronounced when they took a bow.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. It's not easy. Like, even to find a left-handed bass player is hard enough, but then you have to find one that can sing. Yeah. You know, let's face it, like, the Beatles were really great singers. So, like, to sing, especially John and Paul, I mean, they are singing at the top of their range and screaming and then singing nice the next song. And it's hard to find somebody that can sing so high like Paul and scream, you know, like Helter Skelter, and then the next song sing like Michelle or something. It's a pretty hard, it's a difficult part to play.
Now,
you know, people find.
Liverpool Legends, The Complete Beatles Experience, was actually put together by George Harrison's sister.
Yes, it was. I randomly met her about a month or two after George died, and I was singing at she was a guest of honor at like a Beatle convention, and I was singing George songs, and we hit it off, and she thought that I was brought to her or something, and we just became really close, and it just was such a weird time in my life. Like, a week later, I'm sitting on a couch with her and Paul McCartney, you know, in between them both, going like, man, this is weird. And then we spent a few years just being friends, and then we decided to, you know, there's a lot of Beatles shows in the world, and we wanted to put something together that was, she could be proud of, and that was a little special, and George was around, he could be proud of. So we started doing auditions, and we opened up our own theater in a town called Branson, Missouri, is how we started. And then we've been traveling, and it's been a roller coaster of things that have happened in the last few years. Like, we got nominated for a Grammy for a project that we did. So we got to go do red carpet interviews on the Grammy. We lost to Betty White, I think, beat us. And we've headlined Carnegie Hall and the Rose Bowl, and we've been doing all this international stuff. And it's been a neat little run. We're on year 15 now.
Wow. Marty, is there a difference between the reception that you get from U.S. audiences and audiences overseas?
It's weird because sometimes, like, we've been doing some shows overseas where we've been, like, we go to Mexico City and we're filling, like, 10,000-seat arenas because it's just, I don't know. So, we did it two nights in a row this last year, and we're going back in May to play Mexico City, and it's just one of those things where we've been building our name there. It's a big promoter, and so there you almost feel like a Beatle for a second because it's pretty intensely crazy. And then the next day we might go back to Branson and play for 400 people, and it's a lot different. But it just depends. It's no real section of the world. There's Beatle fans everywhere, and it's easy to get caught up in the excitement of our show because there's songs that everybody knows every word to every song in our show. So which makes it kind of unique and makes it for a fun concert for young fans and old fans and everybody in between. There's no other real act that's like that, where there's just, you know, like a 10-year-old can agree with his grandparents on every song, you know.
Well, that's the other interesting thing. You know, we have every year there's a Beatles Fest here in New Orleans, and the Top Cats and some local bands come together, and local musicians they pick a Beatles album and they feature that album that year. It comes up every summer. It will be up again this summer. Mm-hmm. But when I go there, and sometimes I MC, and I saw this also when I saw you guys, there's just such a diversity in the demographics that are attracted to the music of the Beatles. And obviously you didn't have to grow up with the Beatles to appreciate what they did.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's all ages. It's, you know, because every year, you know, the Beatles seem to be as cool as they were the year before. Like, they're still cool in high schools right now. And no matter where we go, I mean, we've been everywhere. We've done concerts like in India, and we're going to Ukraine next month, and we were in Ecuador a couple of months ago, and wherever you go, even the places where they don't speak English, they all sing along to every song, whether it's phonetically or somehow the Beatles mean of the world to all these different, you know, cultures, mm-hmm. and they broke all borders and age groups and races.
Yes, that's amazing too. Did Rudy Giuliani have anything to do with booking you in Ukraine?
No, okay. No, he did not. But we're doing like a 5-city tour of the Ukraine, and it's going to be cold. I just bought a parka. We're doing this big rock and roll cruise thing the week before, so we're literally stepping up a cruise ship and then repacking parkas and stuff like that and going to the Ukraine in February. So that should be fun.
If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Marty Scott. He is the George Harrison in the Liverpool Legends, The Complete Beatles Experience, which will be on stage tonight at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. And I'll tell you, it's quite an experience. And I think people also need to know that you use video and you use old film of the Beatles to complement the show.
Yeah, we put a bunch of things together. The show's sort of narrated by George Harrison's sister. So we put a bunch. There's some films in our show that are literally from her collection of like home movies that aren't even, nobody's ever, you know, they're not even in the world yet, you know, but we put together sort of like, it's sort of a history of the Beatles and her dialogue goes and intertwines through our show. So it's an interesting take on the show and it works really well. And it's interesting.
It's also interesting to go back and think about what the Beatles meant to, a generation, the baby boomer anti-establishment rock generation that is now today's establishment. And, you know, I've talked about this often. I think the seed was planted for Beatlemania and the whole British invasion when John F. Kennedy was assassinated in November of 1963. 3 months later, the Beatles came out. And looking back on my life, I didn't think of it consciously at the time, but I felt like the president of the United States being murdered in public, it was almost as if a young generation just simultaneously lost faith in the establishment. And to me, that was the beginning of the anti-establishment generation. And the Beatles timed it perfectly to be a way for a young generation to manifest their division from the establishment.
Yeah, and everybody was watching what the Beatles did, and every record that came out, you know, people were waiting to see what was next. And it's funny, at some point that anti-establishment became, just like you said, now these same people are running our country, or they're, it's funny because everybody that, let's say if you were a parent in 1964 when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan, or a grandparent, you might not have liked the Beatles. A lot of parents did, that's what made them different, but a lot didn't. It was something too new. But as the years went by, you know, so much other stuff. Like, my grandfather didn't like the Beatles. And then sometime in the 80s or something, yesterday was on the radio, and he stopped me and said, "Now that's music." And I'm like, "Wait a second, that's the Beatles." And what happened was so much other stuff came out, you know, like heavy metal and punk rock and whatever. And then the Beatles just became the most common denominator for everybody who likes any kind of music.
That's right.
And they, because they were that good, and every right this year, I mean, Abbey Road just is number one. They sold more records than anybody. It's amazing. It's how it somehow, I guess they were just that good and that cool that, you know, every year, like the Yesterday movie just came out, and last year Ron Howard's movie came out, and then before that, there's always something that seems to introduce young kids again to the Beatles, and they just realize how cool it is. You know, if you're a songwriter or something, you're gonna figure out that those guys wrote so many songs. Like, how'd they do that? You know, if you're growing up as a kid and you're playing guitar, you're gonna figure out how good the Beatles are.
Well, and think about the diversity of, you know, the happy love songs in the beginning that transitioned into Sergeant Pepper, Magical Mystery Tour, Rubber Soul, the Beatles album, the White Album, and Abbey Road. Think about all of that happening in less than 10 years.
Yeah. It's really one of the wonders of the world what they did and why they are still as big as they are. And it's just, there's a magic to the Beatles. We're just lucky enough that we do them well. So we get a little bit of taste of this world. I mean, for us, I mean, it's been such a great gig because we're traveling the world. We're playing everybody's favorite songs. The concerts are so much fun and there's so much energy. You know, on occasion you get a little taste of the hysteria of it on stage, which is really fun. And then, you know, and we're big Beatle fans ourselves. Which is why we do this. Yeah. So it's been it's a whirlwind of things that we've gotten to do, and it's all because the Beatles are, I call it like a wonder of the world. Why they're, because nobody has transferred down like them. Nobody, not the Stones, not Elvis, not nobody really. You know, but the Beatles, I don't know. You know, they influence fashion, politics. Yeah. Songs, everything you could think of, the Beatles sort of had a hand in why everybody is the way they are right now, you know, which is crazy.
Marty Scott is the George Harrison in Liverpool Legends, the Complete Beatles Experience. They're live in concert tonight at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center on Airline Drive in Metairie, and I believe their tickets are still on sale for that. So if you're looking for something to do tonight, I highly recommend this. It's a great show. Marty, thanks for spending time with us.
Thank you, Scoot. Hope we see you there, man.
All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.